Everything begins with prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Lord said, you call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, things that you don't know. How many realize there's things that we don't know? Things that we want to know and that God is ready to reveal to us. There's no greater example than the life of Jesus in prayer. No one gave us a greater example. In fact, the disciples came to Jesus. And of course, we have what we call the Lord's Prayer that came out of that. But the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, your prayer life is fascinating. There's something about it that we've got to know. Teach us to pray. And that would certainly seem like an obvious question, but isn't it amazing that we don't ask it more often? Lord, show us how to pray. Not that we don't know to pray, but Lord, that we may pray with greater excellence. And so they just said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we thank God for the Lord opening in his heart, teaching them not to just use vain repetitions, but to pray, and after this manner pray, ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, that's a part of that prayer that we really, I don't think the church has really gotten a grip on that yet. We have the rest of it pretty well aced out because we have needs and we need daily bread and we need forgiveness. But you know, it's so important to pray, Lord, I like to paraphrase it like this, Lord, don't let me be led into something that I might not have the strength or be up to it at that moment. You say, well, just trust me in that because I feel great peace and confidence in that. Lord, lead us not into temptation. God's not out trying to trick us and put us into some strange situation. But I think that verse is so appropriate. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, please do not let us be led into something that we would not come out in the best way. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, as we look at the prayer life of Jesus, remember that everything starts with prayer. Jesus started his ministry after 40 days of fasting and prayer. He comes out of the wilderness. You remember the temptations, how that Satan comes to him in three major areas of his and all of our lives. But because there had been a time of proper preparation, Jesus began his public ministry, coming into the synagogue. You remember opening the book. He just happened to know where it was because he wrote the book and saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Everything starts and continues through prayer. I know that. I understand that in my intellect, but I want to understand that in my spirit in a greater and a stronger way. Secondly, Jesus set the example of prayer. If there's anyone that set the example of prayer, it was Jesus. Prayer to him was not a religious exercise. Jesus set the example in prayer. In fact, he would separate himself and spend sometimes all night in prayer and wait before God. And that's why he always had the right answer. That's why he always had the right response. Jesus set the example of prayer. His life and ministry was bathed in prayer. All the way through, you see it interlaced. His life and ministry was bathed in prayer, coming apart often even all night. Jesus fasted and prayed 40 days before his ministry began, before he entered what we would call the public ministry. Prayed all night before he chose his staff, which teaches us the importance of praying about important decisions in our life. It's so important to pray about the things that happen in our life. Also, Jesus' disciples coming to him to ask him to teach us to pray shows us that they saw that Jesus' prayer life was working. They saw the victory. They saw the breakthrough. They saw what was happening in his life. They saw prayer working in the life of Jesus so powerfully that they asked him to teach us to pray. Prayer is many things. Prayer is praise and worship. We have praised and worshiped our God tonight. Prayer is petition. We need to petition God because we have needs. Prayer is provision. As sure as there is faith petition, there will be provision. Prayer also results in protection. Protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So prayer is many things. Really, prayer is communion with God so that everything in our life is touched through the power of prayer. Prayer opens impossible doors. We used to sing a little chorus, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable, any mountains you can't tunnel through?" God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. As a young man and reaching out to God in those early days, I remember there were numerous times of spending all night in prayer before God. Might sleep a little bit during the night, go to sleep a little bit. Well, you know what I mean? That was not on purpose, but I mean, it was making ourselves available before God. So prayer opens impossible doors, impossible nations, one after another, have been penetrated through the power of prayer. I don't know what there is about this book, Revival Fire. I haven't met anyone that's as enthused about it as I am. But it's kind of like Smith Wigglesworth's book on Smith Wigglesworth, Apostle of Faith. Boy, I cut my teeth on that when I was just starting to minister. And I'm telling you, I just devoured that thing. But it seems like anywhere I open a chapter in this book, something shouts at me about the power not only of revival, but the fact that revival comes through prayer. Revival doesn't come through an evangelist only. Revival doesn't just come through a church. Revival doesn't just come because now we're going to have a week of revival, or we proclaim this is a weekend of revival. Everything begins with prayer. And as I was reading through, especially in the latter 1800s and 1900s, it's amazing when there was no television or radio as we know it. I don't know how they communicated, but how that there was such a connection between North America, China, Korea, India. And I mean, you'd think, how in the world did they coordinate it? But there was coordinated prayer that literally released the power of the Holy Ghost in all of these nations. Just think about a day when people in India were praying, and a day when people in Australia were praying, and a day when people in Korea were praying. Actually, Presbyterian Pentecostalism, they call it, literally was birthed in those early 1900s because people prayed. You couldn't tell a Presbyterian church from a Methodist church, from an Anglican church, from whatever, because the power of prayer bridges all of those things. Charismatic was a word, I guess, that was not prevalent or invented at that time. But you see, as I read this, that prayer literally penetrated impossible nations. America's not impossible. Thank God for the religious, I don't like the word religious, thank God for the spiritual emphasis that is available. I thank God that there is a spirit of revival in this church, but it's not where I want it to be, and it's not where it will be. But I'm encouraged to know when they went to India, they said people do not pray aloud. And evangelist, I believe it was Jonathan Goforth, went to that nation, and they said he was supposed to have had a prayer team that was praying for 30 days before he got there. And the missionary didn't believe in that, so he didn't organize it. So when he got there, I mean, he is dropped right into the middle of a prayerless preparation. But he began to call upon God and he began to teach the people. They said the people will never pray out loud, but the people began to pray out loud. They said they will never pray out loud together, but they began to pray out loud together. And all the things that the missionaries said the people would not do because they were culture bound. They had been there too long. They were bound to the cultures of those nations. When prayer went forth, a fire of God began to burn in Korea. And that fire is still burning today. Dr. Cho has an auditorium of around 25,000 people and has over 800,000. You say, how does that work? It means you can't come to church every time you want to come to church. I don't know if you have to draw a number or you do it on the odd time. I mean, that. You know, I thought, well, that would work in America with a lot of people I know. But we're getting this thing backwards now. You understand? They say, hey, that'd be a good deal. I only have to go to church twice a month or three times a month. And then they'd meet in home groups and, you know, keep. But I'm telling you, when you've got over 800,000 people, something's got to give. And when you have 50,000 tithe paying millionaires in your church, Satan doesn't have a chance. And I'll tell you, as I talked to this pastor in Maui, he's been on Dr. Cho's board for years. He said, I called him back yesterday and I said, let me check that number. He said, yes, over 800,000. They're headed for a million members of the church. That means a lot of work. That means a lot of people loving a lot of people, helping a lot of people, discipling a lot of people, and over 50,000 tithe-paying millionaires. I'm going to tell you, really, God told me he's going to raise up 10 millionaires to begin with in the church. And the thing that I've said, and I still shout it from the housetops, there is no better bang for the buck than your local church. Because you know where it's going and you can see what's happening. You say it's not all with money. Well, you try to live without money. Talk to your landlord without money. Talk to GMAC without money. Talk to anybody without money. It takes money to make the world go around. We can win more souls with more money. We can do more. We can outreach more. Amen. God's been good to this church, but there's some ways we need to break out. Prayer opens impossible doors of finances, impossible doors of nations. If you just had a little bit of a revelation how far your tithes and offerings are going, you'd be hard to restrain. I mean, we'd have to fight to get a tithe, to get a message on giving. I mean, you'd just interrupt Brother Mark or myself or whoever was doing it, but it opens impossible doors. I'll tell you, prayer will turn a sleepy church into an on-fire church. Prayer will ignite the spirit of revival when there's not an evangelist within 1,000 miles. The Holy Ghost, the fire of God, the power of God will do it. Prayer opens the daily windows of God's will for our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are you afraid to pray that prayer? Is there anything in your life that you hold so tightly that you're afraid to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because you're afraid it may go the other way? If it goes the other way, let it go. If it's not God's will, I do not want it. If it's not God's purpose and God's plan and God's will, drop it. Let it go. Nothing, no thing, no material thing, no man, no woman, nothing is worth getting outside of thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if you're afraid to pray that prayer about anything, you need to pray through on that and get the mind of God on that. Because anything you can get that's out of the will of God, it's going to give you misery all the way. I can promise you that. As one person said, if you don't pray going in, you will pray to get out. No choice. Amen. I have a businessman in the church. He taught me that one. He said, there's one thing I've learned since coming to this church over a number of years. If you don't pray going in, I promise you, you will pray to get out, because there's only one way out, and that's to pray your way out. Prayer opens the daily windows of God's will and God's plan for our life. Constant prayers of faith bring daily answers to prayer. Constant prayers of faith bring daily answers to prayer. Prayer keeps our lives in shalom peace. I'm going to go back to that one. I hit that too quickly. Prayer opens the daily windows of God's will and plan for our lives. Constant prayers of faith bring daily answers to prayer. It's like planting seeds, and the seeds just keep growing. Prayer keeps our lives in shalom, irene, peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, we had a little thing this morning. We were talking to some folks that felt like they had had curses put upon their lives because of the country and the nation that they had come from. Well, some of that, there's a part of that that's very real. There's another part of that that Satan just bluffs us out on. And I just felt a spirit of simplicity because there's profoundness in simplicity. I said, are you born again? Yes, born again. How are you born again? I asked Jesus to come into my heart. All right, what are we doing about this curse thing? We've prayed about it. How do you know that you're saved? You receive it by faith. You accept it by faith. How do you know that you're set free? You receive it by faith. It slipped right by some of you. Let's go back again. How are you born again? How are you born again? By asking Jesus into your heart and trusting Jesus. Okay, so we're saved, but now we're saying Satan's bigger than God. No! The moment you said yes to Jesus as Savior and the Lord of your life, Satan lost his stranglehold on your life. How are you set free? By crying out to God. Asking God, someone praying with you, someone joining with you in faith, believing. In other words, you're set free like you're born again. And I know that Satan is stubborn in some situations, but you know, folks, we've got to get away from this thing of preaching and teaching and witnessing and testifying that Satan's bigger than God. Satan is not bigger than God. Satan is not bigger than God. I said Satan's power is not greater than God's power. God's power is greater than Satan's power. What does the Bible say? Some people that call on the Lord may be saved. Whosoever. I'm doing some important teaching. It may sound simple, but I'm doing some important teaching right now. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then there's a certain percentage of others that call upon the Lord that things may work out. Is God an on-time God? Does God honor faith? Does God honor us when we call? I'm not belittling anything, but folks, somewhere we've got to get a grip on this thing that God's bigger than the devil in our life. God's bigger than every satanic influence that has ever influenced us in the past. And there are those that have given yourselves over to many things. But oh, thank God there is no sin that the blood does not cover. And he whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. So how do you get born again? You ask God for it. How do you get free? You ask God for it. And sometimes others pray for us in that. But then what happens when the feeling comes back? What happens when the feeling comes back? You're not saved. You better know how to take authority over that. You better know how to take authority. Has anyone ever had the devil say, you're not saved? Well, he doesn't try that anymore on me because he knows I'll tear his head off. But there was a time that he could put me on the edge on that one because he'd come back and try to get me on the works treadmill. You know, and lose sight of grace. But what I'm saying, the same thing that got you saved is the same thing that set you free, and the same thing that set you free is the same thing that will keep you free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Come out of that pit and stand fast. Come out of that mess and stand fast. And if you stumble and if you fall, get up and cry to God. He's a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. Whew. Prayer is the engine that drives evangelism and harvest. He said, pray the Lord of harvest that he will raise up laborers. Pray ye the Lord of harvest that he will raise up laborers. Prayer is the engine that drives. Prayer is the engine that drives evangelism and harvest and yes, even world missions. How dare we think we can do anything without the power of prayer? You know, isn't it something we talk to everybody but God? We talk things over with everyone but God. We talk things over with our family. We talk things over with our relatives. We talk, but we don't talk to God as we ought and as we should. Our relatives can't change it. A Our friends can't change it unless they're faith folks. But when you talk to God, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communion with God. A church praying will bring Jesus' return to catch his church away. You say, I want to get out of this mess of this world. Then you better really pray and believe God that the Lord of harvest is going to raise up laborers and send them forth. Hallelujah. You know, just reading this book this afternoon, I don't know, I just went in the other room and I began to read. And it talks about prayer preparation. And it talks about long before 1904. You say, that's a long time ago. Really not that long ago, you know. Really, it's not. God began preparing for the worldwide revival that burst into flames at the turn of the century. And it goes on to say that North America, Australia, South Africa, Korea, China, and Latin America, more than 5 million people in these nations were won to Christ in the first 2 years of this revival. Now remember, there had not been a population explosion at that time. But it said it starts with prayer. You look at the Welsh revival, and you look at the people that prayed, and the things as I walk through here. Saturday night prayer meetings for worldwide revival were being held at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and at the annual Keswick conventions in Britain. Missionary prayer meetings, local church prayer meetings, and personal emphasis on prayer for revival occurred in India, the Far East, Africa, America, Britain, and Latin America. What happened? This is just one chapter. After those years of prayer, God began to move by his Spirit. Several young Welsh miners had become conscious of the need of God's visitation. They began to preach on repentance, restitution, reconciliation, the Lordship of Jesus, sanctification, and total surrender to the Holy Spirit. And throughout, you see, actually, the Welsh people have had several different revivals because they've had several different sowings in prayer. It's very interesting. I wish I had time. I know reading from someone else is something is can be boring, and I realize that. But you know, as I read through this, children started praying. Young people started praying. And they have a different word for being slain in the Spirit, but they'd fall under the power. And people that would hardly ever go to church came to church 4 or 5 hours in church. Then they're going home walking a country road because that's the only way you can get home is walk. And they're singing in the Spirit. And you can hear them across the countryside. And every time they pass a house, everyone in that house is zapped by the power of God. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, I'd like to just aim a Holy Ghost gun at this freeway and say, filled, saved, delivered. Woo! People were coming to the house of God. I mean, it's just, you know, as I read, it just fires me up. It said, Pentecost is yet within our grasp. Are we ready to pay the price of Holy Ghost revival? There's just so many things here. They said it wouldn't work, but it did. Entire nations being shaken by the power of God. Because if a nation doesn't go for God, it'll go for communism or it'll go for humanism. We're just seeing the United Kingdom begin to turn around now. Begin to turn around now. I've preached there when you talk about the power of darkness. It was there. But thank God something's beginning to happen in the United Kingdom. Something is beginning to happen. I wonder if it's some association with the kindness they've extended toward this nation and also their kindness toward Israel. I thank God for Tony Blair. I don't know where he is spiritually, but I know God has used that man in a very, very unusual way. God is beginning to pour out of his Spirit. So here's the thing about it, folks. It's not too late for revival. And revival doesn't have to be everything you think it should be and everything I think it should be. Revival is God changing lives. But it all starts with prayer. Everything starts with prayer. You want to see turnaround? It starts through prayer. You say, my life's in a mess. Where do I go from here? You start praying. How do I pray? How do you talk to anybody? Who do you talk to? How do you talk? Do you go a day without talking to someone? Sometimes over a cup of coffee, you'll just talk to someone you don't even know. And just talk and talk and talk and talk. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is getting on your knees and saying, God, I need some changes in my life. I can't do it, but you can, Lord. My family needs some changes. My children need some changes. My grandchildren need some changes. Prayer is just going before God in utter simplicity and saying, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, Lord, cleanse me. Let the fear, we need an old-fashioned fear of God. We really do need an old-fashioned, a Bible fear of God. You don't do things that you shouldn't do because you get caught. You don't do it because you know it grieves the heart of God. It's not because the church approves or disapproves or the preacher approves or disapproves, but that you have a conscience before God. Are there things that you will or will not do? Or does anything go? We need the fear of God. Boys and girls need the fear of God. And you know, that I want to end on something that's a little different because, you know, you can meditate prayer, you can journal prayer, you can write prayer out on a legal pad or whatever. I mean, prayer comes in many different ways and packages. Sometimes prayer is loud. Sometimes prayer is opening your voice to God. Now, I know, you know, there's all kind of thoughts about this, but I'm telling you, there's a time to open your mouth. There's a time to cry out to God. And on the day of Pentecost, something was so loud that the city could not ignore it. Something was so obvious, so different from the ordinary sounds, that people began to rush to where the upper room and all that was going on and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? They cried out. They cried out. Now you say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when you have to, you can get your mouth open. I guarantee you, if truck's fixing to back over you and you couldn't, you say, ah! Is it noise? No. Is it just commotion? No. But oh, when something inside of you cries out to the living God, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you don't know. I don't know. I think it's just time for some fervent prayer. It's just time to get our mouth open. Call upon the Lord. But folks, our city is on fire. Our metroplex is on fire. I mean, people talk about tithes and offerings, yet they pay more to go to a football game or a Mavericks game or a hockey game. I mean, you know, people spend big bucks. And then you go there and they stiff you for the hot dog. They stiff you for the Pepsi or whatever it, you know. I mean, out at the ball game, yeah, it costs to go. The old $1 knothole club out at Katz LeGrave Field has come and gone since I was a kid, I'm telling you. So you pay big bucks to go. You pay big bucks to get, you could buy a steak almost for what you buy the hot dogs for. And then the drinks. And then people fuss about giving to God. Amen? So what am I saying? You know, every time I take this with me. I don't read it more than my Bible, but I tell you, many times on a long flight, I'll just get it out, and I hand it to Joy. I said, Joy, read two or three chapters here on prayer. When people got hungry for God, is it true today that when people pray, is it true today when people get tired of the sixes and sevens? Is it true today when we get tired of just going through the most? Is it true today that we can do something about it? Yes. We can call upon the name of the Lord. Well, it doesn't seem like anybody else in the church is. You do it. Well, if everybody, forget it. If everybody would tithe, no, you tithe. If everybody would pray, no, you pray. If everybody would believe God, you believe God. I mean, my Bible's full of stuff where one prophet of God took on a whole nation. I mean, one prophet of God took on the prophets of Baal, took on Jezebel. One man or one woman of God stood up against the tide of evil. And I believe we can still do that. It doesn't have to be 10 hours of prayer, 2 hours of prayer. Doesn't even have to be an hour, even though we talk about the hour of prayer. But you know what I'm talking to you about tonight? Praise God, it is true today that when people pray, things happen, things move. We're going to keep on praying and believing God for our Christian school. God's at work in Calvary Christian Academy. We're going to keep on praying for the youth groups. God's moving in junior high. God's moving in high school. We're going to keep on praying for the singers. We're going to keep on praying for every level of everything that's going on. Praise God. I want to see revival in the choir. I want to see revival in the youth. I want to see revival in children's church. And I mean, it's not that we're not seeing good things happen. I want to see more good things happen. We have a world that's on fire, and we need the spirit of revival. I said, we need the spirit of revival. I'm telling you, God Almighty can pull them off the freeways. We had people in this church this morning said, I've been driving by, and we'll have a new and better sign one of these days. But I mean, you know, even though that sign's been there a long time and it's tired, said every time I drive by, something about that sign says, go to that church. And they came to this church this morning. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. That's what God's able to do. If God can go to India, and they don't pray out loud, they said in India, but they did and they do. If Muslims can pray and kneel on a hot asphalt pavement, if people all over the world can do some strange and unusual things, I tell you what, we can pray to the true and the living God, because our God's not dead. I said, our God's not dead. And there's numerous examples in this Bible, where children prayed. I want to see more children praying. And they said that there, in families, there was kind of a rule there. They said all they did was just feed the animals and go to church and have revival for a given period of time. They did go feed the animals. The ox was in the ditch, you understand. But they said, these people just, all they did was just feed the animals, go back to church and start praying and have revival. You say, are you kidding, preacher? Did you come from another planet? No. I'm telling you, in Him we move and we live and we have our being. Too much to do about too many things will wear you out. On my schedule, my agenda, maybe we need to unschedule, unagenda, and just cry out to God. Believe God for household salvation. You know, it's a shame for as much footage in churches as there is in the Fort Dallas Airfield. For there to ever be empty auditoriums or empty pews. Man, I mean, we ought to be a 24-7, churches ought to be a 24-7. I know I'm talking about work, but wouldn't it be something just to think? I said, okay, this is your revival week. Now, this is my revival week. This is your revival. You know, we just all pitch in and it happens. Can't you see them driving it off the freeway saying, what must I do to be saved? Can't you see them coming from the neighborhoods saying, we need God. We need God. We're raising a generation that needs God. Pastor Morocco there in Maui, they said you can't build a church in Hawaii. You can't build a church of substance or of size or whatever. But I tell you what, that man's got a strong faith in God. And they have probably the largest attended church in all of the islands of Hawaii. I'm telling you, the local church is still the best bang for the buck that's available. Praying for, in the local church, attending the local church, giving your tithe and offering to the local church. Just as I said this morning, Tommy Barnett ministered to a street man, was late to preach service because he went home, got him some clothes, and let him use his shower in his own pastor's office. Late to even go preach that morning. But it wasn't just a few weeks, 30 days, 60 days later that the man's brother called and said, my brother just dropped out of life. That's the first time I've seen the change in my brother because of what you've done with my brother. Where do I mail a $1 million check? And they received their first $1 million contribution to that church. Had an opportunity to buy an FM radio station just before the tornado. They called me 2 weeks before the tornado. And, of course, everything went upside down. But I thought, you know, I don't know. I'll just leave that one where it was. But, you know, there's opportunities. There's opportunities that the local church needs to be taking advantage of. There's opportunities of communication, and we just need to be taking advantage. I wonder if you've caught the spirit of what I'm saying. You see, everything begins with prayer. Everything begins with prayer. Impossible nations become possible. I'm in Korea tonight. No, not everybody in Korea is born again. I don't see how they keep from it, but not everybody's born again. But Presbyterian churches are praying all night. Baptist churches are praying all night. Methodist, Dr. Cho's not, doesn't have the only praying church in Korea. Everything begins with prayer. Everything begins with prayer. Is it true today that when people pray, 500 heard, go to the upper room and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. 120 did it. Four soils received the seed. Only one soil out of four produced. I wonder how those folks felt that missed the day of Pentecost. They could have written a book. I should have been there. I could have been there. I had the invitation to be there. Everything begins with prayer. Everything begins with prayer.